Today is September 6th, 2017, and this is episode number 427 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
630th, is that what you're going to say?
That's exactly what I was going to say. Shut up.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, and I'm going to go see The Church in L.A. in a couple of weeks, actually, not even, like 10 days.
That's 9 days. Cool.
Yeah, it's very exciting to get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast. You can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note. Bat at ACM at macobserver.com. I got you to snort.
Ah, yes, you did. And I can't figure out why I'm even still in the show today after you made fun of me for not realizing I left last week's date in the script and added in this week's as well.
No, it's, to be fair, it's what I do.
Well, that's true.
Or like, you know, let me just get you talking about washing machines and things like that, and then, you know, then we'll really, really have a good show going.
I want to point out that despite the fact that you're being a total butt right now, I'm still excited that you're going to go see The Church.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, they're one of my all-time favorite bands. Haven't seen them in a while. Looking forward to that show.
You're going to get me a present, right?
No.
Then I'm done being nice to you today.
All right, fair enough. So, listen, iOS 11. It's coming out. You been using it?
See, I'm being a butt and not talking. Yes.
It's going to make for a very one-sided show.
Well, you know. Anyhow, yes. I started playing with iOS 11 on my iPad mini the day that Beta 1 was released, Developer Beta 1. Mm-hmm. And then I started using it regularly as my primary operating system on my iPad Pro several betas ago. And as of developer beta 9, I'm actually running it on my main iPhone.
Well, I have been I have been on my iPad Pro, first generation iPad Pro. I've been on iOS 11 since, I don't know, I think DB, no, so probably PB2, public beta.
Oh, that's
2.
Right. You're running public betas on your iPad.
Yeah, and then I did with the public beta, the previous public beta version on my iPhone. I finally dropped it there too. So I've been using it pretty extensively for the last, I don't know, couple of months. Mm-hmm. I'm super pleased with it so far.
I've been very pleased overall. However, on the iPhone 6 that I've been testing it on as well, and that one's in an environment where it gets heavy use, it's been a lot of trouble. Like crazy redraw bugs, and
I haven't had any of that.
Yeah, I know. This is what I'm finding interesting. So, and I don't have another iPhone 6 that I can test it on to see if it's just the one device. But on my iPhone 7, it's running great. Some of the redraw issues I've seen on my iPad Pro, like the screen won't rotate when it should. But, you know, we've been talking betas, and I haven't had time yet to test developer beta 10 on my iPad Pro. I installed it a little while ago. So if it's video, you could see me pointing over my shoulder to where the iPad is sitting.
I would assume, by the way, that DB10, PB9, same thing, mm-hmm. are probably Golden Master candidates, if not even the Golden Master.
I think this is very likely. And so I'm really curious to see if there are any changes with screen redraw on the iPhone 6 with this release. Because I'm running developer beta on that iPhone as well.
Gotcha. So I haven't experienced any of those particular problems. As a matter of fact, it's been rock solid for me on both my iPad. Well, I had some early quirks quirkiness with some of the early betas on my iPad, but I wasn't ever concerned about that because of the fact that they were early betas. Mm-hmm. On my iPhone, it's been rock solid. One of the things I really appreciate it is are the subtle differences. Like one of the ones that really stands out for me in particular is just the subtle differences in the way the lock screen looks now.
It's cleaner.
It is somehow cleaner, and it's subtler, I think.
Okay. Tell me what you mean by subtler or more subtle, as those of us that use English like to say. I'm going to be a butt to you through this whole show.
Yeah. What is that other thing that some people like to say? Screw you.
No, I don't think that's it.
So I'm talking about in particular the unlock screen for punching in your code. Mm-hmm. Right. It's the, I don't know how quite to explain it. It's just a subtler effect, a more subtle effect.
How about if I try and explain it? Because I think I know where you're going with this. And if I'm wrong, no, I'm not. I'm right. Okay. So when you look at the screen, you have varying levels of transparency that are used together to create the effect of the buttons. So the only elements you cannot see through, are type. So the numbers where it says touch ID or passcode, stuff like that. Everything else, it's varying levels of transparency, and it's used to, I think, great effect. It makes the buttons totally stand out, and at the same time, they blend with the rest of the screen in a really nice way.
All right, that'll work.
See, I had a feeling that's where you were going. But you just didn't know to explain it with transparency.
Yeah, there aren't a lot of there aren't a lot of wholesale differences between iOS 10 and iOS 11. The differences that are there are very attractive to me. I like what they're doing with the fonts. I like what they're doing with the layout. I like what they're doing with the transparencies, as you so delightfully explained just now. The buttons look good. The font weights, I think, are improved.
Yes, they've refined the type throughout the interface and in Apple's own apps. And I really like what they've done.
And it definitely feels fast.
Yeah.
Yes, I call these good things. And you know, when you've got the changes that are coming in the App Store, the changes in usability with the Files app and with multitasking on iPad. I mean, all these things are bringing some tremendous usability increases into iOS, and I think that iOS 11 is going to be a good step forward, and one that's not going to, like, people aren't going to be, it's not going to be like going from it's not going to be like going from the skeuomorphic to flat.
Yeah, there was a lot that changed when Apple did that. Was that iOS 6 to iOS 7?
Yeah.
And yeah, because going to the flat interface, it was more than just the visual part of that. They changed a lot with the way we see buttons, and it was, that was a hard transition for a lot of people. What it taught me was go into the assistive services and turn on the buttons feature there, so you actually have a visual indicator for what's a button as opposed to just type on the screen.
Right.
And I've never bothered to turn that off because it's that important.
Sure. Yeah, fair enough.
Excuse me. Accessibility. That's where it is. So, actually, tip for everyone. Settings, general accessibility, button shapes. Turn that on and then just leave it on. You'll be happy.
I'm going to do that right now because I don't think I've ever bothered to do it. I've known that it existed.
Yeah.
So where is that again, Jeff?
Okay. So Brian, go to settings, general, accessibility, and then look for button shapes.
All right.
And the other thing that I'd like to turn on that's in that same spot, on-off labels. And what that does is it makes it even clearer when one of those slider toggles is in its active or inactive state, because it adds a little one for the active side and a zero for the inactive side.
Got it. I suspect I'm going to turn both of these off because that's not the way it's supposed to be. Yeah, definitely one, two. It's definitely supposed to be. It's supposed to be the way it's supposed to be.
Lemming.
we'll see though. I'm gonna give them both a shot. All right. One way or another, between iOS 11 and the much rumored iPhone edition. Mm-hmm. Right. We got some reporting from Seth Weintraub over at 9to5Mac on that this week.
Right. Yeah. So we're looking at what we were previously seeing as assuming was going to be the iPhone 7S and 7S Plus as the iPhone 8 and iPhone 8 Plus.
Yep.
And then the phone that we thought was going to be the iPhone 8, the OLED display model, is going to be iPhone Edition.
Right. All of which makes sense from a naming perspective. If they're changing the form factor dramatically, it makes sense to go from the from 7 to 8. And also from the perspective of, you know, trying to make a big deal about this being the 10th generation phone.
Except it's not. We've already had the 10th generation phone.
So in 10 years then.
We've already had that too.
What was the 10th generation phone?
That was all last year.
7s, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15... 16. Yeah. So the end, this is the 10th anniversary. I mean, it's 10 and a half years since it actually happened.
Mm-hmm. We've already had more than 10 phones. So it's not the 10th model.
All right. So we have iPhone 3G.
Mm-hmm.
3GS.
Mm-hmm.
4.
Mm-hmm.
4S.
Mm-hmm.
5.
Uh-huh.
5S.
Uh-huh.
6.
Uh-huh.
6S.
Uh-huh.
7. Look at that. That was 10 right there.
That was 10 right there. How about that?
Yeah, this is the 11th. This is the 11th. So I wonder why. I'm guessing then it's just going to be about the form factor change.
Yeah, that's my guess too. And maybe Apple's decided they want to get away from the S thing.
Who knows? Yeah, maybe. One way or another, I think it's going to be a good ball for Apple customers all the way around. We've got a lot of stuff coming out.
Yeah, it's. I'm looking forward to seeing these new phone models. I totally failed at playing the straight man. Brian, you said there's a lot of great stuff coming out. What are you talking about?
Well, we've got iMac Pro. Mm-hmm. Probably won't be shown September 12th.
I would be stunned if that was shown at any point this year.
We've got a new Apple TV, supposedly.
Yeah, 4K Apple TV is what the rumors say.
That'll be exciting. Mm-hmm. We've got Apple Watch, probably Series 3.
Mm-hmm.
We've got.
Is there any interesting HomePod feature about the Apple Watch Series 3 that's being tossed around?
Well, you know, I think the biggest thing is that it's like we're finally going to be able to decouple from our phones for doing things like going up and down stairs and height,
nice.
Height things for tracking activity. Mm-hmm. And it seems like there are a whole bunch of hidden icons in watchOS 4 and iOS 11 that are for workouts that don't currently exist. So that would strongly suggest additional sensors.
I agree. That's yes. Considering what they're doing with the sensors today and these new health, fitness, outdoor activity things that we're looking at potentially tracking, there needs to be more sensors.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. So that'd be exciting. And, you know, I will take it's, I'd like it to be thinner, man. Not too much thinner. I don't need it to be like thin, like a quartz watch. I have worn thick mechanical watches. I would like Apple Watch to be just a touch more elegant. And that is going to mean a more refined form factor.
I just came up with an idea. So this is totally out of the blue. And here's what spawned it. You're talking about the elegance that you would like to see. And you did that right after you talked about these new features that we may be seeing in the Apple Watch, which includes new sensors. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking that to give us the sensors that we need and the battery to power them, Apple isn't going to make the watch thinner. So that means we have this new model that sticks with essentially the same form factor we already have. But they could also do one without those sensors, which would be more like the City Watch, the elegant watch. And that one could be thinner because it's not going to have those extra sensors.
You know, that's possible. I would be surprised. I would be surprised if Apple were to bifurcate its own Apple Watch product line like that.
Yeah, we've already seen this because right now we have the iPhone 7 and 7 Plus. So they don't have any problem doing that bifurcation with their products. But I'm with you. I don't think that's something that they will do here, but it was just kind of a fun idea that came up as you were talking.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is that with iPhone, we saw Apple going thinner and thinner and thinner. Like no one was clamoring for thinner. We wanted more battery life and yay, Apple brings us thinner with, you know, the same battery life. And it was interesting to me that when we went from series zero to series two, mm-hmm. that it is a refined form factor for sure. The way the bezel connects with the crystal is in fact refined and I think better looking. It's very subtle, but the difference is apparent to me, and I like that. But you know, it was interesting to me that Apple didn't go thinner.
Didn't they go slightly thicker? It's like just like not even a full millimeter, but it's just a fraction of a millimeter thicker, I think.
Might have been. I can't remember now. We don't actually look anything up or do any preparation. By the way, speaking of which.
This is the part where you fess up, isn't it?
Yeah. Yesterday on TDO, that would be TMO's Daily Observations, hosted by one Jeff Gammon.
Not two, just one.
Yep. You had Brian Chaffin, that would be me, mm-hmm. and Dave Hamilton. John Martellaro. And
John Bartolaro.
And we were talking about Touch Bar. And John's cockamamie idea that Touch Bar is going away. Mm-hmm. And
you didn't say cockamamie yesterday.
And no, I didn't. I didn't. He, you know, also John was also saying that it would be foolish for Apple to go in to TVs and movies, and that's also just nonsense. But anyway, but we'll get to that. And also, John, it may not be a cockamamie idea. We'll know. We'll know. When iMac Pro comes out, if iMac Pro doesn't have a standalone keyboard with a touch bar, I think we can be confident that Apple isn't going all in with the product and it'll go away with the touch bar.
You know, on the touch bar thing on the iMac Pro, I believe it's something that Apple intends to include. So if it's not there, then what that tells me is that they actually have abandoned it.
Yes, right. That's, yeah, that's essentially what I'm, yes. what
so,
I'm saying, too. Yeah,
so not like, oh, we'll mess around with it and see what's going on. If it's not on the iMac Pro, it's done. It's over.
Yeah.
Next MacBook Pro won't have it.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with that. So we were talking about this, and then we were out of time, and I said something like, hey, I've got this whole totally different direction to take.
Mm-hmm.
But we're out of time, so why don't, you know, we could take it up in ACM. And you said, yeah, let's take it up in ACM.
And then I even built it up and told everyone, you have to tune into today's Apple Context Machine so that you can hear Brian continue on, and we'll have this great discussion. So what is it, Brian? What's this amazing idea?
And I apologize for the noise.
It's okay. It didn't come through.
Oh, good. Outstanding. So I have no idea what the idea was. No, none idea whatsoever. And I didn't tell you guys, like, you know, like behind the scenes, I didn't tell you what it was. Because, you know, why why would I? I'm just like I'm going to forget.
Right.
But it was just really interesting. I remember at the time being interested in this other idea and this other concept to explore. And no, just no idea what it was.
I think that's just fantastic.
It's something.
It's something. I'm not sure this word fantastic means what I think it means.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It is something. So anyway, there you have it. I apologize to anyone who was actually looking forward to that idea, but whatever it is, I don't know. It's gone.
And to any listeners that have tips for Brian on how to be able to remember things, like writing something down, feel free to let him know. And just because I'm a horrible butt, Brian, where can people let you know how to write things down to remember them?
You can write us on Twitter at Context Machine, or you can shoot us a note at bat.
It's ACM, still funny.
MacObserver.com.
Yeah. You know what's going to end up happening? We're going to get down to the last minute of the show. We'll be wrapping up, and it's going to come to you what it was you wanted to talk about. And so then we'll say, oh, we'll tune in to Daily Observations on Thursday so that you can hear what Brian wanted to talk about. And then we'll see if you wrote it down and remember it.
Yeah. Not going to happen.
Probably not.
All right. Okay. So here's the deal.
The first part could happen. The writing it down to remember it, that part might not.
Right.
But anyhow, you wanted to move on to something else instead of sitting here while I continue to
yes.
ridicule you.
Yes. So Eddie Q used to head Siri. Why did he ever head Siri?
Why did he ever head so many of the things that he was in charge of, like the App Store?
I can see the App Store from the standpoint of the App Store is selling content.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. I mean, I can see the App Store. I mean, because he was in charge of the original iTunes Store, and the App Store was an adjunct to the iTunes Store. That made sense.
Yeah, kind of, but. But it's like saying, well, you know, he ran the hardware store, so we put him in charge of groceries.
Well, no, it's more like he ran the hardware store, so we put him in charge of the grocery store. That's not all that far-fetched.
Yeah, but it still seemed kind of weird to me. But, okay, we'll run with it. And but now he's not, at least not in charge of the App Store. And he was also in charge of Siri, and we're in agreement there. That was a weird thing for him to be in charge of.
Siri seems weird. I never understood why he was in charge of that. But now Craig Federighi is in charge of it.
I think the reason that Eddie was in charge of Siri was because at the time they just didn't know who to assign it to, and they had to pick someone, and. They were probably thinking, all right, well, we can squeeze this onto Eddie's plate easier than we can squeeze it onto Craig's or whoever else's plate they were considering at the time. And then later on, as they've shuffled things around, then it made sense to put it where it belongs, which is with Craig.
Yeah, that could be the, yeah. Okay. Fair enough. But
that's not what you wanted to talk about, is it?
No, I don't think this wasn't about giving it to Craig, and it certainly wasn't about demoting Eddie. I think very specifically this was about making room for Eddie Q to develop this TV/movie business that Apple seems to be getting into.
I think you're right. I'm not looking at this as Eddie was screwing up in any way, and so they just needed to take responsibility away from him. I think it's about realizing, you know, we need to take advantage of our executives effectively, and Eddie needs to be focusing on the stuff he should be focusing on, and Siri's detracting from that.
Yeah. And that the movie and TV stuff is going to become bigger for Apple. And yes. And that's really what that's something that I'm interested in talking about, because I know that there's pushback from some folks that, you know, they don't want Apple changing. They don't want Apple doing business, you know, doing video. They don't want
People didn't want Apple doing phones or music players either.
That's a very fair point, because it took away time and attention from the Mac.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about Apple is, Apple has a crap ton of money. Apple has all this money. We've talked about it many times. They have all of the money. They essentially have unlimited money.
Yep, pretty much.
It would be. Not impossible, but nigh on impossible for Apple to spend all the money that it has. Let alone if it, you know, unless it just, you know, gave it just, you know, dramatically increased shareholder dividends and stock buybacks. Maybe really put a serious effort into buying themselves.
Apple would have to work really hard and seriously commit to burn through all their money.
Yes. And part of what you do when you're a company, rightly or wrongly, when you have a bunch of money, is you grow. Most companies grow by buying other companies. Mm-hmm. Apple has bought very few other companies, and the companies that it does buy tend to be small. Beats would be the biggest one. And Beats was essentially a massively expensive acquihire.
Yeah, pretty much. They were buying, I like it as an acquihire.
That's acquihire, yeah.
It's all wet and splashy. We have an acquihire.
Exactly. So
spit it out.
Well, the thing about movies and videos is that TV shows is that this stuff is increasingly being consumed on mobile devices.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we're ever going to not have TVs, because TVs make for a better viewing experience for most things.
Yeah. I'm going to expand on that a little bit. I think we're always going to have an in-home larger screen viewing experience.
Well, not always. Eventually, the TV paradigm will be replaced in the home by something else.
Yeah, but it'll be some sort of large viewing experience.
Yeah, fair enough. It just may not involve a display.
Right.
Eventually, it will not involve a display. Eventually, projection, be it straight into our brain, or projection onto a wall, or projection into the very air. Yes. Will replace a screen. That is assuming civilization doesn't end. Something that used to be more of a joke than it is now.
Right. In some ways, that's not even funny anymore.
Right. But this will happen. It's only a matter of time and technology. Now, it may not be within our lifetimes, but it probably will be within our lifetimes.
Yeah. Well, look at how much viewing technology has changed just in the last 30 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough. So when that kind of content is so important to your overall platform, and Apple is all about platform. Mm-hmm. When that stuff is so important, it makes a lot of sense for Apple to be in the content delivery business.
Right. And so we have Apple Music. That's their platform for content delivery now.
Yeah, currently it's content for streaming music, and it's also the content for, the platform for delivering some video content. Mm-hmm. When you look at what I think it's Phil Schiller and Tim Cook have both said, that Apple wants to be where we live our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it makes sense for Apple to be delivering content because that's where we live a lot of our lives. And if Apple mm-hmm. needs to expand somewhere, because Apple does need to grow, this is the reality of modern corporate existence. You must grow. And when you already have all of the money, you must find new ways to grow.
Right. So that means they're getting into the entertainment industry.
I think they're getting into the entertainment industry, and I think it makes a lot of sense for Apple to do that.
Considering the products that they've been developing over the last 10, 15 years, yeah, it does. And while I look at the same concerns people had when the iPod came out, Apple is losing their focus. We hear that with this, but now I think this is just the progression of where the company is going.
Well, Apple did lose its focus. Like we spent 2015 and 2016 without a lot of products.
That's different.
2016 and into the first 6 months of 2017.
Yeah, that's a different losing focus. I'm talking about when they enter a new product category and they come in strong, like they did with the iPod, like they did with the iPhone. Apple wasn't losing focus. They were evolving the company into its next phase. When they did lose focus, 2015, 2016, with the Macs, that was, I think, independent of the markets that they were in. I think they just totally dropped the ball right there.
Okay, fair enough.
And that's different than getting into the entertainment industry and losing focus on their hardware business.
The question, I believe that what, and we've talked about this before, what we saw at WWDC was Apple recognizing that it made a mistake mm-hmm. in taking its eye off the ball on new products. Mm-hmm. And that, and we will see if Apple actually did learn its lesson and is in fact going to continue to keep, you know, is figured out how to start focusing on new things without iterating the current product lines. We'll see if that's the case. So far this year, it's looking good. We'll know more this fall, et cetera, and then we'll know more next year. And it's only time's going to tell that. But mm-hmm. I think that Eddie Q, as the head of Apple's studio business, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and I'm with you. To me, that makes a lot more sense than having him run the App Store, because what he's doing is handling entertainment and selling entertainment to us. And the TV shows, the movies, all of that stuff, original content, that totally fits in there beautifully.
Yeah, and it fits in with the platform, and it fits into where we're living our lives. And it's a way for Apple to make sure that you know, if Apple is offering must-have content, and people are on Apple devices to get that must-have content, all of the other content providers must also be on the on that hardware. And mm-hmm. that's why this makes sense. This is an insurance to make sure that no one can ever hold Apple hostage, or you know, worse, compete and make Apple's products intentionally less competitive by withholding their content. Now, we haven't seen that. We actually used to see it on the Mac all the time.
Back,
do you remember when Windows was a thing?
Oh, good times.
Right? I mean, like, you know, all the time there would be like there would be things that would only be available on Windows, and sometimes it seemed like it was artificial. And that it was someone was being given a financial incentive to only be available on Windows.
Yeah, we saw it a lot with Microsoft's own products. So the Office Suite,
yeah,
Intuit was Quicken at the time was so bad with that, and on Adobe, some of the things that they did, like especially with Acrobat. It was horrible.
Right. So Apple doesn't want that to happen with content, right? Apple doesn't need Netflix, doesn't want Netflix to be able to decide, not that Netflix would, but this is just an example. Or actually, let's have a much better example. Amazon.
There you go.
Apple doesn't want Amazon to be able to make any of its products, any of Apple's products, less competitive by withholding Amazon Prime Video. And if Apple has the eyeballs for its own must-have video content, the other players have to be there too.
Yep. And Apple's been out recruiting the talent, the expertise that they need to have a good shot at making that happen. And did you see the news from this morning? Apple is... like seriously trying to get the James Bond deal.
Yeah, but not as a studio, as a distributor, right?
Right. Which is what this is always about with the James Bond rights. You're the distributor.
Right.
We're also looking at the possibility that Apple could then start pushing for additional content that would expand the James Bond franchise. So other movies, maybe more likely TV shows that tie into the James Bond franchise in some way.
Yeah. I'm not like as hip as I know you guys talked about that on TDO today. I doubt that that's Apple's particular focus.
But regardless, the fact that they are serious about trying to score the Bond franchise, mm-hmm. what that tells me is they are dead serious about being a serious player in this space.
Yeah, for sure in the space. Now, the question, there is a huge difference between being a distributor and being a studio. Now, Apple has people on staff right now whose expertise is being a studio.
Yes, and so, they've been looking at studio properties.
Yeah, at physical properties to possibly develop their own studios, which is separately interesting. So, but I mean, my point is that I mean, you're talking about two different elements of the same industry. You've got this distribution side, which is where a lot of the money is, and you've got the studio side, which is where the production is. So, it's going to be interesting to see just how big Apple's eventual plans are. But this is a way for this company to spend money to become bigger in a way that enhances, protects, and extends the platform.
I'm with you there, and I totally get why that we may even have some of our own listeners that are flipping right now saying, no, because this means that Apple is not putting the resources into the Mac and by extension, the iPhone and the iPad, and they are diluting their company and they're losing their focus.
People can think that. And it's true that Apple has to prove that it can do these things, to me at least. I mean, Apple doesn't care about having to prove it to me.
Well, Apple has to prove that they can do whatever it is that they do, regardless of what the product is, because if they can't prove that they can make the product or the service, people aren't going to buy it or use it.
Right.
So, yeah, they totally have to prove this to everyone.
All right. So plenty of room there for Apple in that industry. I find it very interesting, this move to put, and by the way, I'm separately pleased that Craig Federighi is a software guy, is going to be in charge of the software product called Siri.
Yeah, I'm liking that too. And I'm wondering if we've already seen some of that coming to life because of changes that we're seeing in Siri and iOS 11.
No, Eddie Q would have been in charge of that. So one way or another, his stamp would have been on those already existing moves.
Well, I'm sure his stamp is, his fingerprint or whatever is in there, but I'm wondering if Craig Federighi, there we go, was taking a more active role in Siri already.
Oh, that's possible. Yeah.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. Trial run for being in charge of it. Yeah, that's certainly possible. I mean, you know, his portfolio has slowly been expanding at Apple over, you know, certainly since Steve Jobs died, certainly since Scott Forstall left.
Yes. Yeah. Scott Forstall leaving was really good for Craig Federighi.
It is true. It is very true. All right. So there is that. Mm-hmm. There is that. And then we had that little thing coming out of baseball, of all places. That's the one, by the way, that's where they throw that little ball and then someone stands there with the stick. This is a stick you hold at your shoulder.
Cricket.
No, you hold at your shoulder. Not that you hold down at your feet.
Cricket for kids.
Baseball. It's like we're two not very sports guys here. So there. All right. The short version of the story is this. The Boston Red Sox got caught cheating. They were, and I don't even think this is allegedly. I think they've owned up to it. That was my understanding. But they were caught on video. The Major League Baseball has pretty much said, yep, look at that. They're doing it. And what they were doing is that they were stealing signals between the pitcher and the catcher from the Yankees. Now, I'm guessing if they were doing it for the Yankees, they were doing it elsewhere.
Very likely. Now, figuring out your opponent's signals, that's not against the rules.
No, it's actually a part of the game. Yeah. It's absolutely a part of the game. But Major League Baseball rules prohibit the use of electronics in doing so.
So that would mean like if you had hidden TV cameras or microphones, yeah, or
radios, you know, where you're like, you know, transmitting the information. Mm-hmm. Right. The use of electronics and stealing signals is prohibited by Major League Baseball rules. So the reason why we're talking about that here on the Apple Context Machine is because an Apple Watch was supposedly used to relay information after the signals were stolen and relayed to the dugout via Apple Watch.
All right. So the watch itself wasn't capturing the different signals. It was just being used as a transfer medium in some way.
Yes. An information. Yes, exactly. So the Yankees complained. Mm-hmm. And for what it's worth, the Boston Red Sox said, oh, yeah, well, the Yankees have been doing the same thing with one of their cameras that they've got set up for the YES Network, which was a Yankee owned distribution, just like distribution channel for New York.
OK.
Right. So one of their cameras, in other words, was being used to do the same thing, which happens to also be illegal.
OK.
And, you know, What can I please have some show of hands for who is surprised that the Yankees or the Boston Red Sox would cheat?
I'm looking around the studio.
Mm-hmm. Ainsley.
Put your hand down.
You don't even know what we're talking about.
Wait. Look at the way he's jittering in his seat. He's not agreeing. He is asking permission to go use the restroom.
Oh, I see. I get you. Yeah, go ahead. Fine. Just be quiet. Shut the door quietly. So anyway, it's interesting to me. Like I closed with this. There were a couple of elements of this. The one, Phil Schiller was asked by someone if, you know, hey, has anyone heard from Phil Schiller on Apple Watch Gate? That's what they're calling this.
Oh, geez.
Which I don't know. It's funny. It puts Apple in a tricky condition, a tricky position, right? Because, you know, this is high profile exposure for Apple Watch, but, you know, it's for cheating. And Phil Schiller is a known fan of the Boston Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
And so someone has said, I think the guy was a sports commentator. I don't actually do any research, so I'm not sure.
Research gets in the way.
It really, really does. And he said, has anyone heard from Phil on Apple Watch Gate? And Phil's response was, go Red Sox, which I took to be an endorsement of the cheating or an endorsement of the Red Sox despite the cheating. And that kind of annoys me. I hate cheating. Mm-hmm. If you have to cheat to win, and A, you suck, win. And B, you didn't win.
Yeah.
I don't like cheaters. I don't like cheating. Don't cheat. Don't cheat in school. Don't cheat at work. Don't cheat.
So I have.
There's a game now. There's a game called Cheating Tom. You heard of this game?
Wait, seriously?
There's a game called Cheating Tom. You're supposed to help Tom, the character. Tom gets grounded. I know this, by the way, because it's a run. It's a video commercial that runs on one of the task-based sites that I monitor for our Bitcoin FASA guide.
Okay.
And this is a game that's available on Android. And little Tom gets grounded because he got an F. And he wants to buy a game controller. He's got all the money in his piggy bank, but his father takes piggy banks. He's grounded. And so you're supposed to help Tom cheat all the way to graduation so that he can get his piggy bank and go buy something. And there's, I don't think there's any irony here. I hate it. It's like I just see this coming out of the bro coder culture. Hey dude, you'd be awesome, man. Like have him cheat. Be totally cool. Just screw that.
It sounds like a stupid game.
I hate cheating. So anyway, I don't support the Yankees cheating. I don't support the Boston Red Sox cheating. I don't support a bit cheating. And I don't want to see that. Anyway, it kind of annoys me that Phil said go Red Sox on that. You know what he should have said? He should have said go Apple Watch. That would have been funny.
That would have been funny.
And it would have been, you know, it would have been like, he's not endorsing the cheating. He's just saying, you know, hey, my product's awesome. Yay.
So what I'm guessing is that Phil was just trying to deflect the question and come back with a witty answer. And so he's like, go Red Sox. Alternately, he may
except have been, the Red Sox has cheated. Well, they got busted cheating.
Alternately, he may have been endorsing the Red Sox despite their cheating. I don't imagine he was endorsing cheating specifically or directly.
I certainly hope not. I like Phil Schiller. I think he is quite frankly an unsung hero of Apple's marketing success. I think that as brilliant as Steve Jobs was, I think that Phil Schiller was responsible for a lot more of Apple's marketing than we've ever given him credit for. And I greatly respect him. I was kind of annoyed about that. whatever. I don't actually know. I don't actually know what he meant. I wasn't there. We're not buddies.
Well, and also keep in mind that this is all a text-based interaction.
Yeah.
And when you have written word only, it is so hard to infer actual meaning.
Yeah, absolutely. Give me FaceTime, give me voice, give me text in that order. So anyway, there's that. He did that thing. And I closed the piece with this observation. The surprise here is not that Apple Watch was involved in any kind of sports cheating. The surprise is that this is the first time that Apple Watch has been involved that we know of.
That we know of, yeah.
In any kind of sports cheating. Because, you know, it is a very, very capable device. And it's interesting. I don't even know where to take the conversation after that, but it is very interesting.
Well, I'll tell you the joke that I've seen bouncing around Twitter, which is, well, now we finally know what the Apple Watch is for. Guess it's funnier when you read it.
No, that is funny. I'm sorry. I should have given you a laugh. I was distracted by some other information.
You are the worst multitasker ever.
It's true.
Yeah. Anyhow. Well, I know our audience appreciates my humor.
Right.
Jeez, I even laughed at the lamb, at the shooting sheep.
Bah! The sheep again. Bah!
See, that was funny.
Not really. So, anyway, Apple Watch, sports, cheating, information. The Apple Watch, by the way, was how they got busted. So someone in the Yankees, and of course, you know, the dugout, like, you know, while the Yankees were cheating with the camera, they're sitting there trying to spy the Boston Red Sox cheating, you know, because integrity. And,
right.
And so they caught someone in the Red Sox dugout looking down at his Apple Watch and then giving some information that I guess they were able to determine involved the signals to the rest of the team. So it was the Apple Watch was not only used to convey the information to convey the cheating information. It was how they got busted.
That is kind of funny, though. It just seems to me like there's always some crazy controversy in baseball.
Yeah, well, sure. Yeah, people like to win. Some people like to win at any cost.
And I think baseball likes having its controversies.
Hey, yeah, dude, let's have a game. And then, like, man, it'd be cool because, like, you know, you have to help the guy cheat, man, all the way through school.
Let's do a Kickstarter. This game is going to be the bomb.
Yeah. All right. Listen, we need to cut it a little bit short. I'm going to be speaking at the Chicago Mac User Group. What's their full name? don't do any research, even where Suburban Chicago Apple User Group.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to be speaking there remotely this Saturday. And
sweet.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. I've got a meeting with the organizers there. So why don't we get so that I can get to that meeting?
I think that sounds great. I know how to make sure that you are not late for the meeting. All I have to do is push this button. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. And hey, thanks for listening.
Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth provided by CashFly. Bases by Boom, recorded just for TMO, and that's all for this week.
And even though Brian's been a butt all day long, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer. Unless it's next Friday in LA, and then in which case I won't see you because I'll be at the church.
Right.